Good morning. It's another day of love. Can we handle it? Yes, of course. Just want to acknowledge that upstairs we have some other love going on. So if you hear the pitter-patter of feet, just know that there's some more loving going on upstairs. And I welcome that. I love knowing that our building is filled up with love and light and activity and creation. So, after a month of talking about love, you might think that there's nothing left to say, but there is. Because love is in each individual language that we speak. And I find that the more I'm talking about love and the more I'm exploring love and the more I'm inquiring about love and teaching about love, the more questions I have about love. So, we're going to start there with some questions. So, an unknown author said, Oh, how much richer and more exquisite is life when we love and are loved. For love is just a word until someone comes along and gives it meaning. So love is just a word. It's a word. But it does have a lot of meaning attached to it. The experience of love, the meaning of love, the voices of love, the idea of love, the presence of love, the encounter of love. And love can feel, it can feel distant, and it can feel so close. It can be very far away, and yet it can be right where I am. It's profound to me, the depth of love and the availability of it, and it's humbling to me to realize that my experience of love is unique. I think for a long time in my life, I looked to know that my idea of love matched someone else's idea of love. How could my idea be this all-encompassing power and not be the same as someone else's? And so I looked to try to match it, for my words to match someone else's, for my experience to match someone else's, or hopefully a group even. And what I've come to find is that while there are similarities and while we come together to share love and we experience love, it's very unique. It's that thing called the creative power moving in and through and as me. And if I am a unique expression of the divine, and the divine is love, I am a unique expression of love in every aspect of my life, in every moment of my life. And that's what I'm exploring. This idea of how do I expand love in me? How do I be true to the idea, the uniqueness of love in me and through me and as me? So I had to go and ask and listen a lot. And I ran across the story of a beggar sitting on the side of the road 10 years, 20 years, 30 years sitting on the side of the road. One day a stranger walks by and the beggar, he kind of mumbles, "Got any change?" And the stranger says, "I have nothing to give you, but what's that that you're sitting upon?" And the beggar says, "Oh, it's just an old box, just so I'm not sitting on the dirt." The stranger says, "Have you ever looked inside of it?" The beggar says, "No." He's very weary, this beggar. He's just sitting there, decades, begging for a handout. So he says, no, I've never opened it. What's the point? There's nothing in there. And the stranger says, oh, you know, take a look. So the beggar does open it. And he does find, to his astonishment, his elation, that the box was filled with gold, that he had been sitting upon a treasure for not 10 years or 20 years, but 30 years, begging, begging, please. That treasure lives within each of us. We do find ourselves looking out here. I do find myself looking out here. Got anything for me? Can my love match your love so that my love feels valid? And yet the treasure is right here within each and every one of us. And it's a treasure of gold and wisdom and infinite love and peace and joy and creativity and power. And we must open the box of ourselves to access it, to be able to enjoy it, to be able to experience it. So I am a big proponent of love. I am. And people have told me for a long time, Patty, you are love. You are love. And sometimes I don't feel like it. Sometimes my treasure feels very far away. So I'm reminded in this moment to ask my first question. What's all this fuss about love? What is all this fuss about love? There's movies, there's stories, there's love songs, there's poetry. It's all about love. What's all the fuss about love? What is it really for me? What is all this? What is all this going on about love? And how am I going to tap into it and recognize it and know it in a greater way? Because if love is living in me, then it's alive in me. And it is changing me. And I am being changed. Then my idea of love needs to continue to expand and to continue to grow and to continue to stretch me. Love is that power that stretches me to know more of myself, to know more of life, to know more of the creativity, to know more of the presence of God. A short few weeks ago, oh, it feels like forever ago, but a short few weeks ago, we talked about that championship team for love. We talked about being on the team for love and how powerful that is and how exciting it is. And there was just such this energy of love and of agreement to be on that team for love. How's that going? Yeah? Some of y'all were here, weren't you? Right? Some of y'all were here. You even accepted that ring. And you said, yes, I am on this team for love. Well, you know what happens when we say we're on a team or when we sign up for a class or we open a book? We become that. And it starts to live in us and it starts to grow in us and it starts to show up in our lives. And it starts to challenge us sometimes too, yes? So sometimes when we say, yes, here I am, I am stand for love, I'm on the team for love, I am the champion of love. And then did you get to rise up and become a champion in your own life for love? Because I sure did. I got to know and experience love. I got to be called to know and experience love in a greater way. We have to be willing to continuously ask the question, why love? Why love? Because in asking the question, we're showing our devotion to love. So not only am I asking us to be champions of love, I'm asking us to be devotees to love, to be so devoted to love that we continuously come back to it and ask over and over and over again, oh, what is love? What is love? What is love? And we could go around the room, we could pass the mic, and we could all give our answer to what is love. And some of it would sound the same and some of it would sound different. Each of us have our own unique way of speaking it, our own unique language of experiencing and expressing it. And we're writing our love story in that languaging. We're writing that love story that's unfolding in us and through us and as us. See, love doesn't just reign supreme over all. Love is also the foundation upon which we stand. Love is also the energy that is moving us and grooving us and expressing us and expanding us. My question is, if God is love and everywhere present, why don't I feel it all the time? And it feels like a confession to me. But maybe I'm not the only one that's ever felt like that. What do we do when we are overcome with what appears to be the absence of love? What do we do? It's in those moments that we listen, that we sit, and we'd be willing to let it be silent and to stay in that question and to stay in that uncertainty. Is love real? Is it real? And what I've come to know is that as I've allowed myself to sit in those moments that have lasted way longer than a moment, that inevitably my idea of love expands. Inevitably, there's a glimmer. As Emerson would say, there's a glimmer, there's an opening, and it slides right in. But what I want us to be willing to do is to allow love to be absent, to allow ourselves to live in that place of wonder. Because I believe it is in that place of not knowing, that place of open desert, sitting on the box, in the stillness, that we find ourselves in the presence of love. By being willing to be in the question, to be willing to say, it doesn't match any of my old descriptors, and to trust that there's a new descriptor, there's a new word, there's a new image, there's a new experience that's taking me from this idea of love that has suddenly not worked anymore to a new one. And in that, I assure you, having been through this, I assure you that not only does a whole new land of love open up, a whole new experience and level of love open up, but all that we have stood on before, all of the love that we have known before is there. It was never gone. Simply unable to see it in the movement of the new idea of love. Peter Ustinov said, "Love is an act of endless forgiveness." Love is an act of endless forgiveness. And sometimes when I'm in those moments, there's some forgiveness. There's some forgiveness upon my heart. And sometimes I don't feel very capable of doing forgiveness because I don't want to. I just don't want to. But love, it's beckoning me, and it's calling to me, and I can feel it. And so I say, all right, I'm going to forgive. And sometimes I have to rely upon other people's forgiveness, stories of forgiveness, to remind me that I can do it. So some of you might be familiar with Azim Kamisa. Azim Kamisa, in 1995, his only son, who was a 20-year-old student right in San Diego, was shot and killed while he was delivering pizza. Now, his killer, a young lad of 14 years old, was the first minor to stand trial as an adult in the state of California for this atrocity. So Azim Kamisa's story is how he was able to know. He wrote it this way: you do forgiveness for yourself because it moves you on. The fact that it can also heal the perpetrator is the icing on the cake. So he was able to know that the forgiveness of this person was essential to his love expanding and growing in his life. Was he in a desert for a while? Was he sitting like the beggar on the road? Yes. Was the treasure chest there, right there within him? Yes. Does it require him to actually stand up and open it? Yes. And the act of forgiveness is that, in being willing to open ourselves up and to stand on love. To stand on love. So his story is beautiful, it's magnificent. I've met him a few times, and to be in his presence and to be in the awareness of being able to forgive something that to me is in so many ways unforgivable. And yet, what is the thing that happens in his life if he holds on to that? If he holds on to the pain and the suffering and the blame and the guilt, what is happening in his life? Well, we can feel it, can't we? It's very closed. The forgiveness isn't for the other person, it's for us, so that we can live in our full potential, full love potential. And if that one isn't enough, then I go to Eva Kaur, and she is a survivor of the twin experiments at Auschwitz. This woman so wanted to be free of the pain and the suffering and the horrendous atrocities upon herself and upon other people that she was part of the Forgiveness Project and wrote letters of forgiveness. Oh. Wow. Now, do I have stories like that? Nope. But do I have stories like that? Yep. Because every time one of us is able to rise up, well, to open up that box, to forgive the big ones and the little ones. Because you know those little ones? They pile up. Have you noticed? Just like grains of sand, takes one grain, 2 grains, 10 grains, and pretty soon you got a little pile. Keep adding those little tiny ones up, and you got a great big pile. Yeah. So, when we practice forgiveness, we open up. Ah, we free ourselves to the presence of love. Have to get some Ernest Holmes in here because he gives us some great input about love. Love is within us. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be ignored. To the extent that we abandon love, we feel it has abandoned us. I find that to be very important, so I'll repeat it. To the extent that we abandon love, we feel it has abandoned us. Denying love is our only problem, and embracing it is the only answer. Through the power of love, we can let go of past history and begin again. Love heals, forgives, and makes whole. You know, I love all the yummy stuff about love. I love, you know, being with you all, and of course my beloved, and all of those easy, wonderful ways that it just connects me and I feel so good in it. But there's something also very powerful in the love that allows me to forgive. The love that allows me to rise up, the love that calls me forth into the land of the unknown where I feel uncertain. And I can trust love. Every time we lift up our story of ourselves and each other, we rise in love. So do y'all know who Bill Nye is? Bill Nye, the science guy? I won't sing the song. But he gave a speech at Rutgers in 2015 to the commencement, to the graduating class. And in his speech to this graduating class, he said, along with the evidence of common sense, researchers have proven that humans are all one people. We are one species, each one of us much more alike than different. We are all of the same stardust. We are all going to live and die on the same planet, a pale blue dot in the vastness of space, and we have work to do together. So I love that Bill Nye, the science guy, called forth the idea of oneness at a commencement ceremony and challenged those students to do the work together to recognize and know our oneness, to recognize and know that who we are is in this thing, this game of life together, and that love is that. Well, I'm adding this part. I don't think he actually said anything about love, but if he had thought about it, he would have, I'm sure. I add on to his great words that in that awareness of our oneness, we recognize that love is that thing that is holding us together, that is connecting us, that is the intangible glue of us. And the more we share love, the more connected we feel. Have you noticed that when you open up and you just let love in with the people that you're around, things go better? Anybody? If you haven't, do try it. It's really remarkable. It's really remarkable when we rely upon love and we allow love to be what we walk into our family event with, when we allow love to be what we enter into a hard conversation with. Anybody ever had to have a hard conversation like I have had to have? You know that if we center ourselves and present ourselves in love, the conversation has possibility, and we can actually have it. When Fred and I have been married for, it'll be 34 years this year, and yes, it's great. And it hasn't always been easy, and we've had to have some hard conversations, but the thing that Fred told me from the very, 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 very beginning, when we would need to have a hard conversation, is he would say, "I still love you. This isn't going to change how much I love you." And you know what that did for me? Is it gave me courage to be in the conversation, to have a hard conversation, because I knew that love was going to prevail, that love did reign supreme over all. And it does. So my really final and most important question for all of us, and it's the one that you have to take home with you, is how is love changing me? How is love changing you? How is it growing you? How is it expanding you? How is it allowing you to live life in a bigger way? How is love reigning supreme in your life? How is it calling you forth? And I never knew this, but I guess it comes from a song. A bell is not a bell till you ring it. A song is not a song till you sing it. Love is in your heart. It isn't put there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away. So let's give away our love. Let's language it. Let's embody it. Let's share it. Let's give our love away.